The lesson is in two parts today, both from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5 and chapter 7. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. The first reading is Matthew 5, 17 to 21. Teaching about the law. Don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to fulfill them. I assure you, until heaven and earth disappear, even the smallest detail of God's law will remain until its purpose is achieved. So if you break the smallest commandment and teach others to do the same, you will be the least in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who obeys God's laws and teaches them will be great in the kingdom of heaven. But I warn you, unless you obey God better than the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees do, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven at all. And Matthew 7, verses 7 to 12. Effective prayer. Keep on asking, and you will be given what you ask for. Keep on looking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and the door is open to everyone who knocks. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. If you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Do for others what you would like them to do for you. This is a summary of all that is taught in the law and the prophets.
I should just give a brief introduction to what I'm going to try and do. We're going to start by looking at the passage in the Psalms that we read first of all, this giving some idea about the relationship between the law and the people in the Old Testament. And then we'll move on to look at Galatians, where Paul was discussing about how, in fact, no one could be justified by keeping the law. And he was going to show that, in fact, Jesus died for us to save us from this situation. And so that was the ultimate. And then we're going to go back and look at Matthew 5, because it's, in fact, what it says is, it says about keeping God's law that you would think that maybe Jesus came and people weren't going to have to keep God's law. But this says that, in fact, Jesus came to fulfill God's law, and that, in fact, nothing was going to be relaxed from the demands made. And so we'll have a look at that and then see maybe what some other places in the Bible say about that. So it's all I can say is bear with me, because I try not to make it too boring. But all the commentaries say these verses are not so easy to understand. So the important thing is that Jesus is going to come. Well, when he came, Jesus brought the kingdom of heaven with him. And this was to find its fulfillment, not only in what Jesus did at the time, but also in the prophecies and law from the Old Testament. So we just think a bit about that. So to start with, we're going to look at Psalm 119. And the things that I'd like to bring out about that are, it says, "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemy." So here is someone who's saying, look, studying God's word and rely on it is going to end up giving me advantage in my life, because it helps me to make me wiser than my enemy. And then he says, "I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I may obey your word." So here is his intention, that not to do evil. "And I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path." And then it says, "Your word is a light to my feet and a light for my path." So this is a picture then. There was no Jesus time, but saying, my words, my teaching are going to be a light to you, to help you to pick your way through all the obstacles of life. And he's making that promise. And that promise, see, Jesus didn't come to invalidate that promise. Jesus came to fulfill. But in fact, he was going to do more than just what was said. And then if we think about the law at that time, an example of this is in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 7. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children." So this is a passage which probably many people think came out of the New Testament, but you see it's right back there in Deuteronomy. And God had made these provisions in his law, even from that early stage. So in fact, this is why when people come to Jesus, we'll see later on, he just doesn't say, "Oh, don't ignore it all." It says, "I'm not going to get rid of anything that was done then. I'm going to lead you forward to something better." So in Galatians, the important thing here was that it says, where you have law, you have a hope that you can keep the laws and maybe you'll be justified by keeping the law. But in the New Testament, especially with Paul, he's very keen to show that, in fact, you can't keep the law to a high enough standard to, in fact, get eternal life. So Paul said in Galatians 3, "Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law." And the actual verse quoted is from Deuteronomy, and it says, "Cursed is the man who does not uphold the words of his law by carrying them out." So this verse came at the end of a group of verses which were being said as a challenge. There was a whole list of things which were cursed. And these were the challenge to the people moving into the promised land that they should, in fact, fall short. And this was the last one. And it says that you can't possibly do everything that's written in the book of the law. And so then Paul concludes from this, clearly no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. And so he then says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, because cursed is everyone who hung upon a tree. So Jesus bore the punishment for us. And so then it says, he redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promises of the Spirit. So what Paul's saying is that we have access to the promises of the Spirit by faith, that in fact God makes this possible. But in fact, what he doesn't say is that these laws don't apply anymore. And what we have is that the law, it's impossible for a man to keep the laws and be justified that way. It's just not possible. But the laws are there as a guide. And these, if Jesus came, he didn't come to invalidate the guide. He said, you know, take account of it. This is the sort of way I want you to live. And he's going to, in the Sermon on the Mount, he's going to give more examples of where how he thinks things should be interpreted, where maybe the people at the time had interpreted the law, but had maybe missed the point. And so this is what it does. So, and we can quote one more time from Paul, where it says, but now, this is in Romans chapter 3, verses 21 and 22, but now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness comes from God through faith in Christ Jesus. So we're promised that, in fact, we can have this righteousness from God. But what we see is that even in Romans, it's saying that this was promised from the laws and the prophets. So it's a fulfillment of what the laws and prophets were looking forward to. And so now if we then on the basis of this, we then start and go and look at Matthew. And you probably can't see, but I've got so many pages, but some of them won't. So the first thing I want to say, just to illustrate this, was there was a story that in the New Testament that Jesus met a wise young ruler. Well, he wrote a serious-minded ruler, a young ruler, and this ruler was very wealthy. But he came to Jesus and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Which was the critical question. And so Jesus says to him, "You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said, "All these I have kept since a boy." So, and maybe he thought that this was the case. But Jesus knew that he had a weakness, that he, in fact, was very wealthy and he was attached to his wealth. And Jesus said to him, "Go and sell all your belongings and come and follow me. And give to the poor from all this wealth and you will have treasure in heaven." And what it was, so this is an example of how the law, it's very difficult to make a law which identifies everything which is wrong with someone. But Jesus is able to look and to see, understand people's motives. He's able to understand my motive and your motive. So the question is, it's like in our Christian life, do we do just enough that we think keeps God happy? Or are we really trying to do everything all the time to please God? It's a big difference, actually. And this is the challenge that comes from these verses, is what is our real motivation? What it is, are we really trying to do in our life? So when they came, the verses we're going to study now seems to come out of the blue. It's in the Sermon on the Mount. It follows the thing about being light and salt. And then suddenly Jesus says these other words, this verse 17. He says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." So this saying, "Do not think," it doesn't appear that he was having an argument with anyone, though some commentaries say that some of the people where they quoted where Jesus was out in the cornfields on a Sunday and his disciples picked the ears of the corn and ate them. And according to the laws of the, as interpreted by the Pharisees, this was a big, big no. He wasn't keeping the Sabbath. And Jesus said that, in fact, there was, in the Sabbath was more important than this, and it was more important that they had some food to eat than that they didn't have any food and kept the Sabbath law. And so this is the point that, in fact, what it was saying was that some of the things that the Pharisees had made, because they had made a huge lot of restrictions. I mean, there's, I think one version of it had 80 books, quite long books, explaining how you, if you're going to do something, if you're going to take your cow out on a Sunday, are you allowed to cover its udders or not? There's a law for that. I mean, every little eventuality, there was a law. And so they'd gone from a few conceptual laws, which were trying to explain what God really wanted, to making a large number of laws, which in fact, if you kept them, then you were all right. And Jesus said, "I didn't come to abolish these laws." So he says, "I'm not getting rid of them." The word that he used for abolish was the word which is used for demolition knocking down old buildings. And he said, I've not come to do that with the law. What I have come to do is to fulfill the laws. So, and this word is in fact not an easy word to understand because it's not used very many other places in the New Testament. But in general, it seems to be that you can take it as meaning that it means that the fulfill has the idea of acting in a way that gives the laws their full meaning rather than purely obey the laws and the prophets. So it was acting in a way which was in the following a deeper law, a deeper meaning to what was intended, and not just being satisfied with pure obeying the law, but in fact ignoring the motivation and the good motivation that God wanted you to have. So this is why, I mean, they're going to go through after these verses and look at some other sayings which you were talking about keeping the law, but also maybe had missed the point that Jesus thought was the true point to the activity. And so this is it. So what it does is it means that to keep the law, you have to truly understand what the requirements are. So Jesus says, I come and I do understand that. And so listen to me for the guidance, because it's me that's going to understands this properly. And then I'm able to give you the right advice for the future. And so, so this was quite different from the Pharisees, who in fact, it's a bit like with divorce. They made divorce possible because in fact they wanted to make life easier in some areas. And so Jesus in fact toughens up what they said about divorce because he doesn't think that that's right. And so we tend to think of the Pharisees doing everything to make life difficult, but in fact some cases they're motivation was to make life easier so that you just had a set of rules and you didn't really have to think about why you were doing something. But Jesus says it really matters what your real motivation is when you're living your life. How you live your life, it depends on what your motivation is. So what we see was that Jesus was engaged in showing the direction in which the Old Testament laws point. So he's saying it. Take Jesus as taking, working from the Old Testament laws and then pointing forward and showing what he thinks and what God thinks are the really important things and challenging us to think about things like that when we're doing it. So it's not just have I gone to church on Sunday? Tick one, I'm all right. Have I given some money to a charity? Tick, I'm all right. It's about looking at your situation and seeing what God opportunities God is giving you, and am I fulfilling the full opportunities that God gives me to do? And this is why it then becomes very challenging and not simple. So these verses, because it's, in fact, as what it says is that, in fact, going forward to the future, Jesus is the one who's going to say what needs to be done. And you're going to look to Jesus when it comes to the second coming and all the things at the end of life. You're going to be looking to Jesus for guidance because Jesus is going to provide this guidance. So Jesus is telling them, I'm not going to run away from the continuity of what these laws are. I'm going to fulfill them and I'm going to pay attention to that and I'm going to point the way for you to go in the future. And so he's making a strong claim. So then you ask, where else are these verses in the New Testament? Well, the second verse where it refers, I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. There's only one other place where two places. There's one place in Mark where he talks about heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. And in Luke 16, verses 16 and 17, the law and the prophets were proclaimed unto John. Since that time, the good news of the kingdom is being preached, and everyone is forcing his way into it. It is easier for heaven and earth to disappear than for the least stroke of pen to drop out of the law. So he's saying that there's nothing coming which is going to undermine the law. And then we say from that, well, what about this saying that where Jesus used the words which started on this saying? There's another place where Jesus says, do not suppose that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Now, this is in chapter 10, verse 34. And it implies that Jesus just comes to produce trouble. But in one sense, this was true because people were going to persecute people because they followed Jesus. But in another way, Jesus had been saying in the early part of Matthew, blessed are the peacemakers. So, in fact, this is a sign to us that we have to use these instructions and look at them as well, because there may be other qualifying ones. And so, in fact, in these verses, it says that nothing will change in the written law. But in practice, there may be times when the laws are clarified. So this happened. Well, it goes in the rest of Matthew chapter 5. Jesus is clarifying the law. So he's immediately saying, this is what really matters. The law's there, but the actual real intent of it is something different. And you've got to take account of that. Or when you think about the food laws, what they were allowed to eat and what was unclean, it's very clear that in Acts chapter 10 and 11, that in fact they were allowed to do other. They were quite clearly told that they didn't have to keep all the dietary. The Gentiles coming in didn't have to keep all the dietary laws. So although for the Jewish people it still applied, but for the Gentiles coming in, there was a different interpretation. So it is, but the general principle of it stays. So the other thing which goes on here is that in verse 17, this what is said in verse 17, do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. This thing was like a marker in the Sermon on the Mount. So if from that point on to chapter 7, verse 12, it's all part of the same. In the way it's written, it's like a whole. And so this thing about do not think that I've come to get rid of the law, but to fulfill it, is important. And so what we find at the end of the sermon, and we had that bit about ask and given things, but the actual sermon, and so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. But this sums up the law and the prophets. So this is a very, very challenging. It's all right. Mrs. Nash thinks I'm going on for another 5 hours. No. So what is required? Well, this thing says, so in everything do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. This is the commentary. It says, what is required is a generous attitude of going out of your way to encourage the depressed, to forgive them who have wronged you, and to help the disadvantaged. So this is the challenge that comes. Jesus didn't come to make things necessarily easy. It comes to make a true challenge to follow and do the things which God really wants us to do according to his Father's will. So I just hope that we just remember this, that we're called to participate with Jesus in fulfilling the fulfillment of this thing about how we obey and how we live our lives. Shall we just pray then? Heavenly Father, you know that this is not easy things to talk about, but you want to encourage us. You have these higher standards. So people thought when you came that you were going to produce something, get rid of the old standards. But what you were going to do was to fulfill them, to make them more clear and to help people understand better what it was that you wanted to do. And we thank you that you provided the way for us, because we can't possibly keep all these commandments. But the Lord Jesus came and he suffered cursing on the cross for us. He suffered shame for us, that we might live and have life. And we just thank you for that fact, for your name's sake. Amen.